China grounds its Boeing 737 MAX 8 fleet after the deadly Ethiopian air crash. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. China's aviation ministry has cited similarities between the Ethiopian crash, which killed 160 people on Sunday, and a crash involving the same Boeing model in Indonesia last October. Several North American airlines say they're also monitoring the investigation. The BBC's Robin Brandt reports from Shanghai.
This was the second fatal crash involving Boeing's latest model of its workhorse 737 in just 6 months. And Chinese authorities have taken swift action. 96 aircraft flown by domestic airlines have been grounded. Citing what it said were similarities in these two crashes, the Civil Aviation Administration of China said, in line with the management principle of zero tolerance for safety hazards and strict control of safety risks, it was ordering all 737-8 jets grounded indefinitely. Only once it had confirmed what it called the relevant measures to effectively ensure flight safety will it authorise their use again. Boeing assembles this model of plane in China. The first were delivered to domestic airlines last year. And the US aviation giant is also likely a very prominent feature in the ongoing trade negotiations between the US and China.
Robin Brandt there. Let's do the numbers. The British pound is at its lowest level in 3 weeks on Brexit uncertainty, while fresh data today shows ongoing gloom in the eurozone. German industrial production, that's output from manufacturing, mining and utilities, dropped unexpectedly in January after Germany narrowly avoided a recession at the end of last year. And Turkey's economy shrank more than 2% in the fourth quarter, pushing its economy into recession. Now, Venezuelans are preparing for a fifth day of electrical blackouts as the country's political crisis continues. On Sunday, both President Maduro and opposition leader Juan Guaido addressed rallies of supporters as the two men battle for political control. Meanwhile, Washington is turning up the pressure on countries that still pay cash for Venezuelan oil, like India. The BBC's Sameer Hashmi is in Mumbai.
India is the second largest market for Venezuela, and Indians pay them in cash. That's the reason why it becomes a critical market, because the number one market until now was the United States. But the United States has now put sanctions on Venezuela so they cannot sell oil in the country.
And the cash is important because Washington is clearly trying to shift power away from President Maduro. So this cash would presumably go to him. Now, how much does India rely on Venezuelan crude? And remembering also that, you know, Iranian imports have been cut because of sanctions.
They do buy oil from Venezuela, but it is not a very critical market for them. India relies more on countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia for their day-to-day needs of supplying oil to the consumers. Of course, India is going to look at, how is it going to impact them if they stop buying oil from Venezuela. But in the larger scheme of things, it may not have a very, very significant impact on India. And that's why they might be willing to listen to the United States. But it will all depend on what the United States is offering to them in turn.
And there are ongoing talks between India and the US.
Yes, there are talks. In fact, there is a senior government official who's in the United States right now, though the official is there for, discussing issues related to Pakistan. But this issue is also expected to come up during those talks.
Sameer Hashmi. Britain's Parliament is due to vote again tomorrow on Prime Minister Theresa May's deal to leave the European Union, but the deal's not very different from the one rejected overwhelmingly in January. A series of votes this week could see Brexit delayed. The BBC's Katie Prescott has been talking to businesses in northeast England. The region voted overwhelmingly to leave the European Union. So how do they feel now with 3 weeks to go and more uncertainty?
My name's Alan Ferguson. I'm chief executive of Ferguson's Transport. The bulk of the business is probably around the property side of things. We've got warehouses, we've also got commercial properties that we lease to major customers, for example, Amazon. And we do a lot of work with the automotive industry, mainly Nissan, but also some of the other companies and in the supply chain as well.
Are you worried at all about Nissan leaving the Northeast?
Not at this stage. I think being in a business is tough as transport because it's a tight margin business. You have to learn to react. So we're used to that. And what we have to do is work in the conditions we find ourselves in. Whilst Brexit is a worry, and it is a worry, we understand that. Actually, for business, it's been pretty good.
And that's because companies are stockpiling goods in your warehouses?
Yeah, and not just our warehouses. I think if you talk to anybody that has a warehouse in the country, everybody's stockpiling because they don't know what's going to happen with custom controls, how are you going to get goods in and out.
Well, from the physical to the digital, the technology company SalesCycle creates a software to encourage us to buy more online. And they employ 170 people, mainly here in the northeast, but with offices in New York, Paris and Singapore.
My name's Trevor Nixon, I'm the CFO of SalesCycle.
So when I've picked a dress that I like online, put it in a basket, and then I get another email that says, hey, you've left this in your basket, don't you want to buy it?
Yes.
That's you.
Yes, that's exactly right.
How does the current uncertainty affect the business?
Moving customer data from Europe to the UK, if we have something like a no-deal Brexit, we would have to pretty much change the agreement with every European client. In theory, it is a simple thing. It's not straightforward for a business our size.
A short drive away, Chief Executive Brenda McLeish also has big ambitions for her business, Learning Curve. Employing 500 people, it provides training for the government.
We have one very large hospitality company that we work with. They have over 7,000 staff, huge migrant worker population. And a lot of those guys are saying, you know what, before it gets too difficult or before all of the jobs back home are gone, I'm going now. So we're doing a lot more work with employers about how we can work with unemployed groups to get them upskilled and get them into those gaps that they're leaving. Brexit will not have a huge impact on our business, but we've got an uncertain workforce.
Brenda McLeish there of Learning Curve in London. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.